The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is July 14th, 2016, and go out to www.fiorellobarbellco.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free book. As I always say, think, commit, take action. Pretty simple process, highly overlooked, highly misunderstood. Come here, we'll straighten it right out for you. Also, too, the two big products to date, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. Strength Times Power is all explained by me, every movement. This was one of the main pieces we used when we knocked 43 pounds of body fat off Dennis 2 years ago. Wait till you see the new routine that I'm doing with him now. We will start filming within the next month. Stones, circus, dumbbells, 2-inch bar, and a kettlebell, and wait till you see how I execute this thing. It is pretty damn cool. So stay tuned for that. So we're doing a lot of new tricks here. Also, too, go out to www.motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Before I bring this gentleman in, we got Jed Johnson on today. Go out and do a search on Jed Johnson out there, and I believe we've done two or three shows now. We're coming up on another one today we'll be doing shortly. I want Jed to comment on this, too, because I know he'll be straight up about it. There's nobody out there that delivers content like this, and look at the people we got besides Jed. I mean, we've got Bill Hinburn, Mike Gillette, Bud Jeffries, Chase Carnes. You know, we've got new ones like Adrian O'Brien, Scott Shetler. You know, Adam Glenn, I mean, we've got the best of the best of the best here, and we're getting bigger and bigger and better, and that's the dream of here because we want to help everybody, and we want everybody in our family. I don't care if you weigh 150 pounds or 400. It doesn't matter to me. Everybody's got something to offer, and that's what we're going to do, and we will succeed with this before I'm done with 30 years of this, I promise you. So go out there and check that out. Like I said, go out and look at the shows Jed and I have done. They're outstanding, just like everybody. Also, too, I believe that's where we are right now. There's a lot of announcements. I'll say this because I just got the okay on it. Motivation Muscle very soon will be streaming 24/7. That is one of the biggest things I've done to this company. I've worked diligently on this for 8 months. And I'll tell you what, we had it the first time, and the company went belly up, and that's why it didn't happen the first time. But we've got companies now that are very secure. This is all they do. And I can only tell you this, that we are going to get bigger and better than ever, and we will always be authentic. So stay tuned for more of that. Well, like I said, we've got our good friend Jed Johnson on here today, and I am going to give you some information on this gentleman. Number one, Jed is a speaker, a performing strongman, and a 3-time national grip strength champion. And obviously, you've seen him out on Facebook. I mean, the guy's got a monster grip. But, you know, this is one of the reasons why I contacted Jed. I heard from numerous people, especially Adam Glass, that you got to go after him because he likes to help people. And it's real important what we do here. And, you know, a lot of guys and gals want to hold the stuff close to the vest. Like, you know, they know it all and these are the secrets. Well, what I was told was you want to contact this guy because he'll tell you everything. And that's what I like. It only makes you better. And we're going to talk about lower back health, injuries, what we do to rehab. And Jed has had this and we're going to get it right from him. Jed, welcome back to the show, brother.
Eric, thanks for having me. And before we get too deep into this, I do want to say, man, I'm very impressed with everything that you've done and how you're growing this thing. It's not like other shows, man. Obviously the content is different. It's much more real, first of all. But the other thing is, it's like you're pumping out new shows like close to every day, it seems. I see like new people on here all the time. I see it across Facebook. I can't go down Facebook, my Facebook feed, without seeing new shows from you guys. And they're all top quality information. So it's not like you're putting out a bunch of filler or anything like that, man. You're just doing awesome, man. And my hat's off to you, bro.
Thanks. I appreciate that because I know where it's coming from. And, you know, you and I have talked about this, especially we were very young when we started. And you know, like you're talking about your dad with influence on you, just learning the mental game, even though maybe right then and there you didn't get it. And it's the same with me. But, you know, Jed, I think of like think about when we were kids. And, you know, I used to sit there and say, well, if I had some way to talk to Kazmaier or anybody like that, you know, a top bodybuilder at time, you know, like everybody's always going to use Arnold, but there are a lot of great bodybuilders, and you can go back before it got really spoiled, in my opinion. This is the same thing I bring to the show, and this is the same thing I look in people like yourself and the other folks affiliated with us, because a lot of us came up through the trenches, man. A lot of us had to work our ass off, and we still do, and we have that ethic. So that is the most vital thing, I think, to the show. And not only that, you and myself, I know, and I can't say this for you, but I'm sure knowing you right now, and I do believe we have an obligation to pass on what we've been so lucky to have and get and people have taught us. I do believe if we keep up with that premise and that drive, we're going to get millions of people listening to this show. And it's going to give us the advantage to be able to do more and more things product-wise, line up with people like you and do things like that. And basically next year, I've already talked to a group of people. I've said it to you. We'll see how things go. But within the next few years, I expect a bunch of us to be going out and speaking if we can coordinate it and put the time together and spread the word personally, where we'd be standing up in front of a group of people, whether we demonstrate or just talk to people and let them know that they can do things and that they are not being held down by things that they're telling other people are telling them. So it's really important. But let you know, if you got anything to say, that be my guest. But if not, you know, I'm sure it's going to hark back to stuff like this anyways. Let's talk about the lower back, because this is usually a big problem. It can end careers in training, a lot of rehab. You know, you can get very down on yourself. So let's light it up, brother.
Yes, sir, man. I'm pumped to talk about this. And I'll tell you why, man. There's a forum that I've been a part of for over 10 years now. Shoot, man, close to 15 years. It's the Grip Board. And there was a recent discussion about back problems limiting people's ability to compete in grip sport. And, you know, I've been successful the last few years at a lot of competitions. It's been a really good few years for me. And I think one of the biggest things about it is I was able to get healthy again. My back was in sorry, sorry shape from about 2006 to 2010. And I was always trying to tough guy it, you know, try to push through it. But I never addressed anything. So really my goal with the conversation today, as much as we can, is try to just give people hope, let them understand that if you're in pain, there are things that you can do. And I mean, I'm living proof of it, man. In 2011, I competed at Grip Nationals, and I actually broke a world record in the two hands pinch. And generally, after doing that, I would scream, holler, you know, throw stuff around and wrestling FOMO. But I pretty much just set the weight back down and went and sat down. I was in so much pain.
Yep.
And then the next year was still very bad also, and I'd say 2012 was actually my hitting bottom point. So, you know, injuries are tough, they're rough, but you can get through them a lot of times. So, you know, if I can share some things today to help people out with back pain, give them hope and give them some homework to do and things like that, and if you put it into action, I think you can see a resurgence in your career as well.
I agree. Take it away. I mean, let's just talk about this for one second. in your opinion, and I know there's a lot of different philosophies with lower back, and I know we're going to get into this, but I just want to fire this one right up. Do you think, I mean, I know there are some people that just normally have a back that just is not real sound, and I mean, no matter what you do to it, it'll get you so far, and then you end up having a problem. But do you think a lot of the back injuries, I mean, look, there's things that mount up on us lifters, and we don't even know they're happening, whether we get the chiropractic or whatever. But do you think a lot of this is caused from poor form? Or and I'll let you take it away. I mean, I know you've got enough experience, but the first question I'm going to throw at you, form, what's your feeling on that? And then, you know, go right into whatever you want.
I think form is very important, especially for beginners, because I think it takes time in order to create a foundation of strength in the lower back and yep. being able to properly brace the core and things along those lines. And naturally, you can't do things too awful wrong when you're lifting, or else you're absolutely going to hurt something, whether it's yeah. back or not. But a mature lifter also will be able to go out of that quote unquote safe lower back position and be okay if they have proper conditioning. So yeah, form is important, but, I think the biggest thing with back pain is trying to find out what exactly started it and continues yep. to cause it to come back, even more yep. important than form. So yep. I just want to say that I don't think most people's back injuries are because they're not doing exercises properly. It's
okay.
always the form. It's something else that's going on in the body.
When we're talking that, let's face it, not every exercise for the lower back or back from the top, you know, right down the chain here is always adequate for people. And some people just aren't set up. You know, you'll hear people say, well, I'm not set up for the squat. That's why I hurt my lower back, or the deadlift, or, you know, and we know everything thumps on the lower back pretty much, because if you're an athlete like yourself that loves to work head to toe, you know, everything's vulnerable at that point. So is it all right? We're going to find out the keys to what's going on with this. But, you know, do you feel like myself? Are there certain exercises just some people need to stay away from?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
I do. Okay. So go ahead.
So, for instance, if somebody has one leg that's longer than the other,
yep.
You know, there's going to be exercises that person probably is not going to be able to do safely, because it's they're already set up in a way that they're going to have extreme imbalances. So yeah, that's definitely a possibility. There's no doubt about that. Well, yeah, go ahead.
No, well, you know, and this is where it's interesting, big time. Let's name a few exercises you think that might be dangerous. Now, I'll tell you what. I think the deadlift is it's a superior lift. There's no doubt about it. But I've seen execution of the deadlift where I'm amazed someone hasn't just blown the backside out of them, okay? And, you know, people say there's all different styles, obviously. I like the clean overhand. For me, it's safer, I think, with what I want to do. A lot of people like stiff-legged deadlifts. I think there's a lot to that. But once again, you got to be very careful of stretch and all that. And obviously the conventional deadlift, where you and I have seen it executed properly and butchered. Now, the other day when I saw Eddie Hall do a 500-kilo deadlift and he pulled it with ease, I never thought in my lifetime I would see anybody do anything like that. And I think that's a testament to not only being able to execute things properly, especially with a deadlift, but just the sheer shearing forces on the back. We know what the forces that are being exerted on that back when you're doing, forget even 500 kilo, you know, let's talk about 150 pound kilo, whatever. So, I mean, obviously there's things we need to stay away from. In your experiences, Jed, are there movements that you would say might be better than others for people? I mean, I never want to say to anybody, stay away from something, but in your experience, is there things that you would tell people to be a little bit more cognizant of?
And what I think of in those cases is risk versus reward. So how much risk is involved and what's the reward of getting it? So, so an example that I would point to there would be barbell bent over rows.
Okay.
So there's a lot, there's a respectable amount of risk with barbell bent over rows, and there's a respectable amount of reward from barbell bent over rows. However, I think you can take away a lot of that risk by doing a different kind of row, maybe a chest-supported row or heavy dumbbell row, and still get most of the same rewards.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things to think about is, so if we continue to focus on the barbell bent over row, the cool thing about that is you need to have a strong core, strong lower back, strong hips in order to keep your body in the position you want in order to perform the exercise, even with just light weights. So as the weight increases, you know, you've got to call all those body parts and muscles into action at an even higher level. But, you know, if you have an injury there, you know, I don't do those exercises. I do not do barbell bent over rows. I could probably get away with – I could probably do 225 to 275 for a loose, you know, a little loose form, little throw in there. I don't know if my back's going to go out on rep 3 or rep 5 or rep 8. I really don't know. So in order to but it's almost a given that I'm going to throw my back out based on past percentages, you know, based on the last 5 years, the times that I have tried it, I've probably thrown my back out on at least 50 to 75% of those workouts where it affected training the next time. So I just don't do them anymore because I found that there's probably at least 20 other exercises that I can move appreciable weight without having to put my core at that tough position. And I find that I can get plenty of other core work doing tons of other exercises. Deadlifts have not been a problem for me in the last 3 years. So I just go ahead and do deadlifts now. Why should I put myself at risk with those bent over rows when I can just do deadlifts and I get almost the same exact thing? The other thing that you want to remember is, okay, so earlier you said something about like with the deadlift, what is the proper form, or you see variations in form, right? So some people will say you have to get a strong lordotic curve, which is an inward curve of the spine where the lower lumbar spine points towards the belly button. Some people will tell you that you want to get completely neutral with your back in the deadlift, and they actually do a lot of firing of the anterior abs. And then other people, you'll see, they basically throw all that out of the window, and they're pulling with a rounded back.
Yeah.
And a lot of these are like elite lifters, superior lifters, man. So I think what people think is, wow, I can pretty much pull this deadlift however I want to because I'm seeing all these different trains of thought. Well, you can't really do that because those elite lifters that are pulling with a rounded back on deadlifts, they're also training their back in 30, 40 different ways on a routine basis over the course of the year. So they are bulletproofed in a way that most people just are not bulletproof. They have access to way more different kinds of training equipment that work the body strategically in different ways. And they're able to strengthen their bodies in those positions using other pieces of equipment, other movements that a lot of more layperson lifters don't even know exist. So you can't think on a deadlift that I can just totally abandon form. You know, that's one of those things where form is very, very important. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what I want to ask you too, because this would be a question and we'll probably get them from the listeners, is this. All right. So we're talking bent rows. A lot of people like doing them. We know they aren't executed well a lot of times. And they're going to say to me, well, what do you do for your lats then? Well, we already said dumbbell rows, which I feel are superior, especially when you start getting into like what you like is thick handled stuff, because that's usually all I'll use. I won't use straps or anything. I'll just, if it's a 100-pound dumbbell, if it's a 150-pound dumbbell, whatever it is, once the grip breaks, I'm broken with it. And I do that for a number of reasons, but that's another show. So someone's going to say to me, well, Jed's talking about, you know, building lats, you know, when we're talking bent rows, because I do believe, I believe it's one of the finest exercises besides a pullover, if you know anything how to execute a pullover properly, to build a set of wings, literally. And we all know, I can tell you, Jed knows from lifting stones, you got to have lats, man. You got to have that built, that power. So when someone comes up to you and says, all right, you don't want me to do a barbell bent row, but you'll go with the dumbbell. But I want other things for my lats. And we won't even say pullover because most people don't even know how to execute a pullover. Yeah. What do you tell them at that point, Jed? What are you going to give them then?
I like dumbbell rows, and I do three kinds of them. I do light for really high reps. I do like moderate range stuff where I'm going like 10 to 15 reps tops. And then I go for really, really heavy stuff where I'm either throwing the weight or I'm strapping up. So I'm talking like, you know, 200 pounds added onto a loadable dumbbell handle.
Yeah.
So I'll either do like 3 to 5 cheat reps, or, you know, I can get 8 to 10 with straps. So, dude, I'll go head to head with just about anybody on lat strength. I love training back.
Now let me ask you a question. Not to interrupt you, let me ask you this because I know we're going to go into this more. Are you using usually a 1-inch handle, 2-inch handle? Does it vary with you, or do you stick to one protocol?
It depends. It depends on if I'm doing a lot of thick bar. If I'm doing a lot of thick bar training, like I am right now, then I will go to a regular sized handle in my back workouts. If I'm not doing a lot of thick bar training for grip strength in my grip workouts, then I'll go to a thicker handle for my rows, and that's where you can see like the lighter weights.
Yep.
That's so that I don't totally start losing my grip strength.
Well, you know what I found too is like I like to do. I mean, I can prop them any other way. I've got that piece where I can run in the rack to row with it. But I also will set up if I want to do like short shots with a 2-inch handle, because I won't use any type of gear for my hand. Why not throw like 4 or 5 45-pound plates stacked on each other? Throw the dumbbell on the top there. Maybe you got a 3-inch travel. And I also like to do, I'll take a 1-inch handle, and that could be my heavy. And I go back and forth. So I'll row with a 1-inch handle, then grab the 2-inch handle on the next set. Or vice versa, where I'll take a 1-inch, row it to the right side, 2-inch lighter, row it to the left side, and keep flip-flopping them. So I have found that that is a very unique way to train. I do that a lot of stuff with shoulder work like that now. And I'll get it right back to you, my friend. Yep. What I'm finding is the injuries that I had are going away. The strength is climbing. And to be honest with you, let's all face it, Jed and I have talked about this. You start mentally changing, man. And I've, over the last month, I don't know. I love the feeling, the drive I'm getting out there all the time. Maybe it's not the biggest thing I ever lifted, but when I walk out of that damn gym, man, I'm like fired as hell for the next workout. And they're starting to exceed expectations, and they're also starting now. And this is when you know you're hitting things correctly. You're thinking ahead now. You're saying, okay, I can put a 70-pound dumbbell, clean and press it, and I've had a bad shoulder. Now we're thinking a few months down the road, how long is it going to take to get a 90 up? Things of that nature. So what this is doing, this is like the house of cards, which is just cascading into each other, and new things are coming. You're getting more stoked, more fired up, and you're making successes out of everything. And that is the most essential thing with what we do, is we become successful. No matter what happens, our mind is always on the success that we are going to achieve. I'm fired up, dude, and I'll send it back to you because I'm going to start railing big time now. Go.
Well, I think the biggest thing that you said there out of all that stuff was expectations.
Yep.
I think people get into a mindset where their expectations are, I'm no longer going to be able to do blah because of my back pain. So I think people need to get away from that mindset, first of all, because – You know what? They might have been told by a doctor that they're never going to be able to do that again. The doctor doesn't know. Not all doctors know. Unless that doctor lifts, man, I I take what they say with a grain of salt when it comes to back. Unless they've actually MRI'd you or X-rayed you or something, I just take it with a grain of salt because most doctors that I've seen in the last 10 years are weak, yeah. out of shape, don't lift, yep. and don't have any idea what they're talking about. I think the biggest or one of the biggest causes for adults for back pain is people sit down too much. They are too yep. tight in the front of the hip flexors and all that complex in there. The front of the hip is too tight. When that happens, their hips don't work. It makes their glutes shut down. They don't fire properly. They will not do the work. They won't extend your hip properly. They won't assist you with lifts, and they won't protect your back like you're supposed to. And when those glutes are shut down, then your hamstrings have to work extra hard in order to complete movement patterns. And if they get tight, then they can cause additional problems. So
yep.
I think it's the most important thing that a lifter can do is get with somebody who is trained in either therapy or like movement pattern analysis. Someone that's even like I would almost suggest someone goes to like a kettlebell instructor or a functional movement screen specialist or something like that along those lines. Or a physical therapist who actually works out in order to get an idea of what's going on. Just because, man, the doctors are just too eager to send you to the surgeon and start cutting, man. I couldn't even believe how fast the guy that I was talking to for a while was like, yeah, man, we'll cut you open. We'll see what's going on in there. Like, it was no big deal. And,
yeah.
and I thought for sure, Eric, I thought for sure that I had something that was like, I'm going to mispronounce this, but it's like spondylolisthesis or something like that. And it's like where the parts of the bone have like almost gone too far and damaged the bone on the dorsal side of the spine.
Yep. Yep.
I was like, dude, I bent over too far on an overhead press one time. I heard stuff crack. I think the bones yep. are broken. I was convinced that that's why my lower back hurt. I went and got an MRI, the kind where they send you into that tunnel thing. There was nothing.
Oh, yeah.
There was nothing wrong with the structure of my back, except for one disc was a little bit thinner. Guess what?
Yep.
My dad's got the same exact thing. It's probably genetic.
Genetic, yeah.
So, dude, this is what I tell people. You gotta think about it this way. You gotta think for the next 6 months, minimum. Next 6 months is a rebuilding, a rebirth phase for your body. That is exactly what I did coming home from Nationals in 2013. And I did well that contest in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I have to get stronger. I wasn't deadlifting. I wasn't squatting. I was like, I have to get stronger. The next workout that I did, I started with the barbell.
Yep.
And I worked back up by week by week by week. I started off with box squats where I was just going down and finding the box and coming back up. I wanted to establish a new depth zone. I think videos are up on YouTube. Anybody could look at them if they wanted to. I think the first ones I posted were with 25s on the bar.
Jed, are they on YouTube? Is it Jed Johnson they search for?
Yeah, youtube.com/Jed Johnson. That's the channel.
Okay, want to make sure.
Yep. You're going to see from like 2011, 2012, I was about 50 pounds, well, probably about 35 pounds heavier than I am now. I was fat and out of shape. I was eating bad. I was depressed. And a lot of it was because I was in so much pain. I was sitting down all the time. I would walk around all day long, whether sitting, laying down, walking. My groin hurt. My hip flexors hurt. My adductors hurt. They were so tight, bro. They just hurt me so bad. I started rebuilding my lifts. I started rebuilding my range of motion, focused on my hips. Huge, huge. In the past, I always thought, well, my hamstrings must be tight. That's what a chiropractor told me one time. Dude, it was my hips. My hips were so stinking tight. When I started to get them loose and I stopped sitting down, I actually got a like a thick, dense cardboard box. I put it on my kitchen counter, and I began working in the kitchen, standing up on my laptop. That is was my working station for about 2 years, and pain went away. All of this was going on at the same time, so I can't say any one thing was just the primary cause for my recovery, but all of that together made the biggest difference possible. And if I didn't look at it as a complete reboot, then, you know, it never would have happened, because I would have thrown 400 pounds on the bar, and I would have just started deadlifting 510, double overhand, and all that stuff like I always did. Instead, I had started everything over.
Yeah, but Jed, you know something? This is good that you're talking about this like this, because let's really cut real hard into this, because you're an established lifter, a very successful lifter, and ego with all of us can get in the way at times. And and you know, this is something you got to settle. And you and I both know it's not easy to go back and start all over again. It's going to take an amount of discipline and tenacity that most people can't demonstrate. And I think it was the smartest thing you've done, and I've done it too. You got to go back. It's like, you know, during the Rocky movies where you always say, well, you got to take it back. You got to go back to the beginning, like he did in 3 with Clubber Lang when Creed trained him. We got to go back, and we got to get rough again. We got to get rugged again. We got to find our head. And that's the biggest thing when you're practicing stuff like this, because you basically have got – it's almost like taking a can opener. You got to open your head up, because you've been doing this for a long time. You've obviously have something you have to fix, because you want to keep doing this till the day you can't. That's all of us. So going back – In this mental form you've got to do and start over again, if you can keep yourself together and discipline and have the tenacity and the commitment to fire this through, now let's roll you ahead to 2016. Obviously, let's talk a little bit in between the time. You know, I know it's been a number of years and you had this, but let's just talk about some of the things I think it's important that you're feeling at the time, because if the mental end snaps on you, and I've told you on other shows, I think I had a friend who was a great Olympic lifter, hurt his lower back, never came back, man. This guy was no candy ass either, man. RVQ, if you're listening, and this is you, brother, only got as far as he could, it seemed like, and then something else would happen. And then something else would happen, and eventually you and I both know it's like anything, it wears out. So tell me and tell our family here, what did you have to settle mentally, or maybe at the first point you couldn't diagnose it yet, but eventually you had to come to terms. So what transpired and now got you to where you can do anything you want to do?
Well, the big thing for me was I did pathetically terrible at Mighty Mitts in 2012, and I hung up to Andrew Derniak, who was like one of the peers I respect the most in grip.
Awesome guy.
Dude, what do I need to do? I know he could tell I was frustrated. He's like, well, you can do this and this, and I might recommend that. I said, he goes, but in the end, you just got to get stronger.
Yeah.
I was like, God, why doesn't he just tell me some real tips here? Well, I wasn't ready to hear that, I guess.
Yep.
I just wasn't ready to hear the bottom line advice. So, so 3-4 months later, I zero out on an event, a 10-year veteran in grip sport, and I zeroed out on an event.
Yep.
And that was pretty much the kickstart that day. I've got pictures taken from that day. I look horrible. I don't even want to see those pictures. And just out of shape. And it was just everything. I was doing everything. I wasn't a fit person anymore, man. I wasn't strong anymore. I was beat up. And it was it was just time to start over. So, and you know what, man? That still wasn't when I started. It still took me another 6 months or so in order to really start kicking things into gear. The first thing I did was I started losing weight. I mean, that took pressure off my back. I mean, I had a big old gut on me, man. I wasn't happy with that anymore, and it was hurting me. It was hurting me. And then, you know, probably another 6 months after that is when I did the reconstruction. So just working from the bottom and going up again. You know, even people with severe injuries, I think they can feel better. Maybe not to the point where they can, you know, do 400-pound, 500-pound deadlifts, but I think they can feel better so that it's not always a lingering thought in your head that
yeah.
you've got to deal with this injury still. So there's so much stuff to do. Heck, man, most people don't even warm up before they start training. So
yeah, I know. They're all No, it's not. And you know something? You made the perfect point there when you talked to Andrew. You just weren't ready to hear it yet. You hadn't worked it out mentally in your mind. And you know, when someone says, "Well, how do you press more?" Press. You know, like when Shemansky was asked that. You know, and when you're vulnerable at that time, you don't want to hear that shit. You know, I remember when I tore my bicep in Iceland, and the Icelanders were all going, you know, now you got a permanent scar here from Iceland. I looked at it and I said, well, what the hell, you know, like that. But now, 8 years later, I enjoy it. It doesn't bother me. I could care less. It's something that I believed in, I stood for. Yep, it got me this time, but we'll go back and we'll get it. You know, we've had another shot. We got murdered with weather. These are the things that happen with what we do. It's a dangerous sport. Don't anybody kid you. It doesn't matter how good you execute. On any given day, things can happen. But life is dangerous, too. And if you're going to take that approach to everything and say, well, I don't want to get hurt, or I don't want to get hurt mentally, or, you know, I don't want this one to like me or not, well, you know what you need to do? You need to stay in bed and keep the covers over your head all day. Because life isn't, you know, life isn't about playing it safe, man. Life is going out and taking some chances, some risks. You, like you with a business, me, those are the biggest risks you could ever take in your life, man. It's like, this is your future. This is your today. This is your tomorrow. You have a daughter and a wife and, you know, the same thing here and all that. And it's like, you've got a lot of other things riding outside of here. But you know what? You got to be able to do things, and you can't be crippled by society or injuries or anything around you, because as I found out, and I'm sure you have, sometimes they open up some great things for you. As crazy as that sounds, you become like, you can speak about this. You can be considered an authority on this. How do I get it back? How do I get my mental back? How do I get my mojo back? So I'll give it back to you, but, you know, I think the main thing, especially that I drew out of when you're talking about Andrew, is you just weren't ready yet to hear it. You weren't ready to figure it out mentally or ask the questions yet, because like all of us, man, I know when I tore my arm and I was scared to death I'd never be able to lift again. That was the first question I asked the doctor. I told people that, and they're like, you're out of your mind. I said, no, I'm not out of my mind, because this is me. Lifting is not separate from me. Lifting is DNA. Lifting is that steel, those stones I lift all the time. I might not be physically doing it right now. You don't think that's all in my blood, in my skin, in my bones, in my head? I got news for you. There's no draw difference between the two things. We're all one, even though I'm not standing. Right now I'm about 25 feet away from it right now. So that's what I'm trying to say. But go ahead, take it. I mean, anything you got, brother.
Well, the thing that stuck out from what you just said is, like, when people said you were crazy because you wanted to get back into lifting, like, people think I'm nuts, you know. And I know they think you're nuts, and they probably think a lot of people lifting are nuts or listening are nuts because they lift and they take this stuff so seriously. And yep. if they got a taste of how good it feels to accomplish just one goal that you have set for yourself, lifting.
Yep.
To be able to one day do something so easy that you thought one, maybe a year before, was impossible, dude, they would stop watching NASCAR. They would stop watching NBA basketball because it's all rigged. I don't know that it's rigged. I just wanted to throw that in.
But, that's okay.
Life changes. It's life changing. I wish I could get more people to do this. My dad, dude, I've been training my dad for 6 months now. It took me 6 years to get his ass into my garage. And when he comes over early now, he does extra stuff. He stays until everybody else is done. It's been what I feel is a life-changing event for him. And he's starting to do some really good numbers now. Like, I didn't know if he'd stick with it, first of all, and I didn't know what he would get to. My dad's friggin' back was messed up worse than mine ever was. So he's doing – he just did 60-pound goblet squats for a set of 8, I believe, last
That's
week.
That's awesome.
And then I'm taking it really cautious with him on hex bar deadlifts, but you know, his goal is to do 20 push-ups. He can get like 10 right now. You know, working on towards pull-ups. He just got his first chin up the other day. So, he was at the bottom of his barrel too. He was on all this pain medication, struggling. Back was hurting all the time, dude. What happened to him is he slipped in the woods on something wet and like landed on a log or something like that, man.
Yep.
Really bad, but man, he's doing awesome.
Yeah, but Jed, tell me this, including with your father. I mean, what is it they have to decide to finally come on board? What do you feel? Is it the injury? Is it just the mentally they just feel destroyed? What is it that finally makes them make that move into physical culture?
I guess it's when they're either at rock bottom or the next step is rock bottom and they're staring the devil in the face or something like that, man. It's like, I don't know how to really describe it. But it's just like, you know, you get to a point where you're like, I'm not happy with this. When you're driving 6 hours back home from a contest, knowing that you zeroed out on Axel, you know, that's a very embarrassing thing. I guess maybe it almost takes a point of being embarrassed. I'm not sure. I guess I don't have a really good answer for that. But I know it was a shock for my dad when he came over here and he could not do one push-up, one pull-up, barely do a squat, and couldn't lift a 20-pound kettlebell up using good form.
Yeah, I understand that totally because I see that here. And I say to myself, I mean, you know, you and I are in two different things as far as what we like to do. I mean, whether we're lifting heavy this, heavy that, and you can't compare that to most people. But I say to myself in my head, I'm like, how did you let yourself get like that, man? And I know I've heard everything probably I'll ever hear, and I understand the stuff that's going outside in the world. I got it. I totally got it. But you know what? And I'll keep saying this. If you don't take good care of yourself physically, all right, and I know we all put different views on what's important, you know, family, obviously friends, you know, lifting, a lot of people go like that, the whole thing, but I'm going to look at it from a selfish viewpoint. Lifting will be number one, and I want to explain this before anybody gets upset with it, because if you're not healthy, think about this, if you're not healthy, if you can't lead, if you can't protect, what does it matter if your family is first? Because you're not really fulfilling your obligation either. Now, we can look at it that way, but I've always believed that your health is paramount because, let's face it, what are you going to do if you don't have your health? I mean, my family has dealt with that with my brother. You know, I watched. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with him mentally. We took him everywhere. You would never know that Jimmy had a problem. But I'm looking at him, and I'm sitting here today, and I think about it every day about him. What could he have done without his health, or what could he have done with his health? So, you know, and your it's good to see your dad realize that, hey, you know something? I need to do this. And I imagine as he keeps going with you, number one, you know, it's going to break him out of a lot of other things maybe that have been kind of – he's been held back by it. And I think it's an incredible thing. And I'm very glad that, you know, you're taking this position. And, you know, who better to learn from than your son or daughter? Yeah. So go ahead. Take it, man.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of this goes back to the recent conversations that I saw on the forum. You know, for a long time I felt like – I was pretty proud of the recovery I made, but I didn't really push other people too hard to try to have the same recovery I did because, you know, I didn't want to come off as like, you know, this strength coach did it. You can do it too. But, you know, now that my dad, who I've watched in severe pain, where I've watched him and he didn't know I was watching him, and, you know, I see, like, he was a fraction of what he was when I was growing up.
Yeah.
After seeing what he was, the kind of shape that he was in the last few years versus what he is now, I mean, my dad's close to 70 years old.
Yeah.
And some of the people that are complaining about their back injuries, they're like 35, 40. I mean, they've got so many years that they can enjoy doing this physical stuff. And true, some of them have severe injuries. If you have a severe injury like a severe scoliosis or something like that, we're talking about a different thing there. But, you know, just lingering pain that you haven't even had identified yet, man, I hope you reach that bottom point, stare the devil in the eye, embarrassment point, whatever it is, and you say, I gotta at least find out what is going on here, because there are things that you can do to start feeling better. When my dad came over here, dude, the half the exercise was door weight, or half the workout was door weight stretches and hurdler stretch, or whatever it is when you have one knee down on the ground and you stretch your front of your hip. That's that was half the workout. So, you know, you got to address those underlying concerns. And I'm afraid people that I consider really good friends, they're people that I've competed with, they're people I've interacted with, I think that a lot of them who have these problems can just do simple things and start feeling relief. It might only take like a month or 2 months to feel dramatic relief. And I just want them to give it a try. That's the only thing. I hope a few of them listen to this and, you know, see where I'm coming from.
No, I mean, come on. You know, I mean, you've lived it, you've done it, you know, and that's the way it is. And that's very important. But you know what the whole thing is, too? This is some serious stuff. You and I both know back injuries, whatever it is, can disable you until you can figure it out. And, you know, it was really interesting. We had strongman Chase Carnes on the other day. And it's different, obviously, than what you've had. But injuries are injuries. And, you know, doing that type of training, you get a lot of dents and beatings and all that. And it was interesting because he's on his off season now. And he found doing basic bodybuilding movements, you know, still sticking to the basic foundational stuff, strength, you know, deadlift, squat, all that, but working these in different ways, different rep schemes and all that, he'll do 12 weeks of this, and his body feels like it's all healed up. He's all fired up mentally, get right back in a strongman, and the guy is a hell of a competitor. Sometimes you can't be rigid with everything you do, and we're all guilty of it. I am. I'll be the first guy. And, you know, you and I both know through the years, and I still say it. You know, people say, well, if you do that, aren't you afraid you're going to lose size? And I'm like, I used to say, yeah, I am. And then I'd be like, well, if you've been training 25 years and training heavy and you got deep tissue and ligaments and tendons that are bleeding through your skin, how much are you going to lose, if anything? And it's like you got to get over that mind thought, because if you're thinking all I'm going to do is lose when you're trying to get well, you are going to lose. And not only that, you're not going to get well. So what, you know, what is the goal we're shooting here for? All right, we want to get our back straightened out. We want to be real strong again, you know, whether we want to do heavy, heavy grip work because we need so much there, deadlifts, squats, overhead, farmer's walks, tire flips, stone carries, whatever it is, the paramount thing is to get the injury solved and be healthy again and be on your way. But the biggest thing is get your damn head screwed on straight, because if you don't, you're not going anywhere. I don't care how much physical prowess you have, because we've seen this. Jed's seen it, I'm sure, and I'll get right back to him. I've seen it so many times. How many guys and girls have gotten by on talent, but then they get hurt, and they don't know mentally what to do because they've never had to deal with the mental issue of it all, because they've had some coach wipe their ass forever, and now what do I do? So go ahead, Jed, take that if you agree with me or not. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. I do agree. I got a really good example in my head right now, and I'm not going to mention his name, but like this guy had a tremendous amount of athletic ability. And he worked hard, but when it came to the point where daddy couldn't do everything for him or pull strings for him, I mean, he wasn't able to go any further.
Yep.
So, Yeah, that's an excellent point, man. It's all fun and games till someone loses an eye. You know, it's all fun
yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Someone has yep. a major setback and they're not yep. mentally strong enough to work their way through that and get back to a point of success.
Yep.
So,
I'll tell you something, brother. You remember in the first Rocky flick when he goes to visit Juergens there in Apollo Creed's office, and he thought that he just wanted Rocky to be a sparring guy, and Rocky's like, you know, I won't take any cheap shots and all that, and I love that whole thing. But something, and I don't mean this detrimental to anybody. I'm talking about myself. Sometimes it ain't so bad being a ham and egger, and that's what Rocky basically called himself. And I'll just tell you why. Sometimes the best leaders on the field, sometimes the best lifters in the world that you never hear about out in the woods, out in the garage, in the basement, outside, you know, the guys that are up in the mountains that are training pro athletes you don't hear about until suddenly they do a Sports Illustrated article on them. Those are the guys and girls that are usually the real winners in life. I've seen enough of them. Now, I'm not saying the elite athletes aren't. They are. But there's something very special about somebody that is maybe you'd call a little bit mediocre or above it, but they have the skills when they're out on the field. They're a general. You're not going to win with athletes that can't lead. I don't give a shit how special they are. It's not going to happen. I've seen it so many times. It's the guy, the ham and egger, that is a little bit above that, that understands it and has so much self-confidence that when they come out there and wear it, they will pulverize you. I was saying to my brother-in-law the other day, we were talking about all this, and I'll make this quick, but I know you'll appreciate this. I want to get over to Spain next year to learn how to bass stone lift. I've said this a lot. I say it because I want to keep planning it into the universe. I want to do that next year. And I was saying to him, if I was a coach and we could get away with it, because we know how everything is lawyer, lawyer, lawyer now, which is all bullshit, I'd dig a pit and say I had 5 river stones there going from, we'll just go 50 to 100 pounds. I don't care if you're a 300-pound lineman in high school. I don't really care. And we had the whole gang circling around them, and they learned how to go from light to heavy to light, and the bonding of the men there. And the tradition we'd build there. Done, next one goes up. And say we got 40 guys there. Think about this for a second. Not only would you have the guys that would lead on the field, but they'd all be mental giants. And you know what? They'd get on in the last quarter. They wouldn't be hanging over, grabbing their the bottom of their pads there on their knees. They'd be standing straight up. And when they unloaded on a hit on you in the first play of the game, these guys would be walking back to the huddle saying, holy shit. After 2 or 3, you know what they'd be doing? They'd be cowering. Yeah. They wouldn't want to be hit by you. So that's why I say with all this stuff, it's not always the elite. It's not always the one that has all the techniques, the technology. Sometimes it's the guy or gal that is out in nowhere that understands the injury, that understands through reading, through experimenting, through maybe going to a guy, you know, calling Jed up. Look, I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I need to do this. What would you say? And they take the application they've been given, and they have the resource, which is their mind and their belief, and they get it done. So what do you think about all that?
I think you said so much that the football analogy is very true. When you get pounded by people over and over that you think you should be dominating, I mean, that's very demoralizing.
Yep.
And I think that happens. I think it happens more than it ends up being told. Like these guys from a gifted neighborhood or whatever, you know, well-to-do neighborhood or whatever, get wiped out by the you know, the kids from the outskirts or whatever the wording is, you know.
Yep.
And it's because that they've been taught that you go until the final bell rings and
yep.
won't stop until you hit that point. And, you know, maybe those kids on the other team that have had everything handed to them so often, you know, they're not able to keep up with that kind of stuff. So
nope,
that's huge, man. That's huge. But again, yeah. a lot of that has to do with, you know, the mindset that they're programmed, you know?
Yep.
And
yep.
if we circle back to the injuries and stuff, you know, it's real easy to say, man, my back hurts. Oh, yeah, dude, I know what you mean. My back's hurt for 20 years.
Yeah.
And man, it hurts now and you're only 25. Oh, wait until you're 35, man. Forget about
yep.
it. That
yep.
stuff cannot be any further from the truth. It's, you know, just because a certain person has given up and
yep.
and won't do what they need to in order to feel better, that does not mean that you have to follow in their footsteps and be in pain your whole life as well. It's I'm sorry, it's just not. I mean, to put it into maybe like some big sports, you know, analogy. You know, I think back to like 2010, 2011.
Yep.
Big Poppy from the Boston Red Sox. I mean, all
experts
on TV were saying he was washed up. I think he went like 4 or 14 for his first 100, or I don't know, something like that. He was having a pathetic start.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's 2016, and the guy's still doing well. He bounced back that season. You know, who knows what happened, man? He might have had an injury that they said, don't tell anybody about this because we don't want anybody to know. He could have been nursing a knee, a big toe. You know, who knows what could have been throwing him off, you know?
Yep. Well, you look at Zivikas. I mean, this is the first year he's dropped out of World's Strongest Man, and the rumors on him is he's had a really bad back for the last 3 years. But yet, if he doesn't win, he's coming in like a point behind. So, look, you and I both know these injuries can just keep mounting and mounting and mounting them. And you know, we're getting near the end, but there's something, you know, I want to ask you this. Give a few things that you would advise, because I think this is really, really important stuff. If you had to give a few pieces of advice, you know, whether it's who would you go to get some care with the back, or what would you do at home, or what are some of the exercises you feel would be good? Why don't you, if you don't mind, why don't you give it out to the family here, and then after that, give out any of your information. I'll give mine, and stay on the line, and we'll get ready for next month.
Yeah, so what I would do is I would look up stuff on YouTube for getting your hips more mobile. So stretching the hip flexors and strengthening the glutes, working on making sure when you squat, your knees don't drop in, things along those lines, because that all means that your hips are not working properly. Work your glutes as hard as you can. Get those as strong as possible. It's not just the Instagram chicks that need to work their glutes. We all need to work the glutes. And we've got a show on the site about posterior chain somewhere that we've already done.
Yeah, we do.
I would begin every single workout with a warm-up process. And if you need ideas on that, I show exactly what my warm-up process is that I do every single time I'm in the gym with very little variation. The only time I skip anything is when I forget to do it, and I don't do that very much. You should be working on not only lower back health, but also upper back health, because if you're really, really tight in the upper back, then that's going to cause you to use your lower back even more for mobility, and that's going to cause bigger problems. So you gotta keep your chest loose, your shoulders loose, you gotta keep your upper back loose, you gotta work on your soft tissue quality throughout your spine, you gotta stay mobile, you gotta be able to rotate through your thoracic spine, which is basically your rib cage. You know, look at things like prone cobras, dynamic blackburns, Cuban rotations, scarecrows, scapular retraction, slouch correct. Let's see. Any kind of glute exercise. You don't want your hamstrings to overwhelm your glutes. You need to have your glutes working properly. Hip mobility. Piriformis stretches. Piriformis is a very small muscle. It can cause a lot of problems for your hips. The first time I was put through a functional movement screen, the piriformis was narrowed down as the problem. You can do foam rolling, work on your IT bands, work on your glutes to make sure they're not too tight. Foam rolling, tennis ball, lacrosse ball, baseball, roll on anything, roll on a stone out in the yard, all that stuff. Bands, think about using bands instead of using iron all the time. Man, try to be able to control your core more, brace against band tension. There's all kinds of videos up on YouTube about that stuff. Man, all that stuff is going to help you out. If you have any questions on anything, I'll even put a video up if you get a hold of me. All you got to do is reach out to me, and I'll put a video up about that when I get time. If you want to contact me, guys, come to dieselcrew.com. There's a contact form on there. You can send me an email right through the site. And, man, if I'll tell you, the easiest way to get a hold of me is email. That's the best thing, that or Facebook message. So if it comes to my phone, I'm going to get it. The nice thing is I always have my phone with me, even when I'm doing a training session with my athletes or my adult fitness clients. So, you know, email or Facebook, welcome it. Man, dieselcrew.com is my website. Come out and check it out. Search, there's a search function right there on the site. I've got stuff up there about back pain already. And the YouTube channel is youtube.com/Jed Johnson. I've got a lot of information up there, man. I'm most known for being a grip guy, but I'm a strength and health and wellness and enjoying life guy. That's really what it's all about. So
yes, sir.
I can help you do you know, something I can do to help you out. I will. I'll be honest with you on whatever you ask. So you be honest with me, and it'll be a two-way street for sure.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. Got everything?
That's it, man. I can't think of anything else. There's probably a ton of other stuff that you could do, but I just ran.
Yeah, well, you gave him a lot of food for thought. There's no point, you know, no doubt about it. Also, too, if you want to hear the show Jed and I did on posterior chain, go out to Motivation and Muscle. You can put Jed's name in it, or the number of the show is 436. That was an exceptional show, like all of them. So number 436, but go out to motivationmuscle.com, search for Jed Johnson, and you'll see that. I believe that's the second one from the top. So check that out. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Here we go. It's basically going to give you 10 paragraphs to think and take action. Secondly, don't forget to strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Two of the big products, go out there, check them out, take a shot on your life. It's all there. It'll get you started, and it can take you big places. And check that out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Also on MotivationMuscle.com/, if you go out to podcasts, if you go out there and check them out, it'll give you a list of everything that we've done. You know, we've got authors all over the place. We've got, you know, like I said, we got the best strength people in the world here. I mean, you know, like Jed was saying, Andrew Derniat, all right, John Wood, Chase Carnes, Bud Jeffries, Mike Gillette, Eric Gutman, Wade Johnson, Dr. William Wong. We just had Mark Watts on from Elite Fitness, a very famous guy from there. Frank DeMeo, Brandy Holloman, Roger LaPointe. They're all over the place here, all right? There's tons of them, and I'd be here for a long time giving you every name, but they're all worthwhile to look at and take a shot on. So go out there and check all that out on motivationmuscle.com. Also, www.FiorelloBarbellCo.com, www.MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten, and we appreciate it. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Jed and I to do, Fiorello Barbell Co. That's FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. We've got so many things. And I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them just wisdom, man. Inspire them. Help them out. That's what we did here today. Jed's telling you from his experiences, personal experiences, what he did and how he conquered that beast. big stuff. Also, too, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going out tonight like me, it is officially in almost the mid-90s, and the humidity here is blazing. I've got to lift Hoosa steel stones. Going to lift them from about 6 inches above the ankles, and I'm going to be sprinting with the other one. So who knows where we're going tonight. I've got numbers in my head. We'll see how much tacky I got to use. And, yes, I am using that word, tacky, because I'm not dropping that stone on me. You will slip right off it. Nothing's going to hold you. So I can't wait to get out there and get after that. It's going to get after me. We'll see who wins tonight. Let's see. The Hoosa Steel Stone, that's what we use here. It's jet black, the lighter one. It's got domination on it. We are domination in blood red. And we don't follow anyone's path. We clear cut and carve our own. And as I say in everything I write, and I live by these three words big time every day, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Dominate everything you do no matter what. Obliterate every goal and create new ones. And dent is what happens is maybe you got a bad night. Well, you know what? You get that in your head. That's why I say put that dent in your brain that tells you the next time you go after whatever that movement is, you're going to drill it right through the ground. I live by those three words right now with everything, and I will elaborate on that more in the future. No one's ever going to cut, or as I always say, no one's going to ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's listened to Eminem from the very beginning, and as a guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Well, that's the way it is here, and that's the way we like it. And Russell, I thank you for that, and we will say that for the next 30 years. Jed Johnson, as usual, full of, I'll call you the encyclopedia of knowledge today. Great to have you on. It's always very inspirational, obviously, and I enjoy having you here, sir.
Thank you, man. I enjoy every single time we talk. I look forward to it. Pretty much works out every month. So It was a nice highlight to my day. And I got a couple more hours here, and then we're going to jump with the car, head down to New Jersey for some big seminars. So
That's great, man.
Definitely, you know, it's my highlight.
Well, it is, and it's, you know something, man? You're spreading the word. That's what matters. You're getting it out there, and that's what we do. And as I said, you know, we're very happy to have you in our family, believe me. Before I sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And remember this, tell 100 of your friends because we're coming for you anyways. We are in the process. The register goes through today. Just to let everyone know, unless something happens that shouldn't, we are going to be streaming Motivation and Muscle, three shows initially, very soon, and I'll let everybody know when that happens, because now we have the opportunity to get out to millions of people, and this has been my dream. I've been working diligently on this for 8 months. The first part fell through, but we got a winner here now. So be on the lookout. I'll tell everybody. So for Jed Johnson, who will be on with us in August, if you can believe it already, this is Eric Fiorello. As Jed's going now to spread the word, we're going to keep spreading the word, too, with him and everybody else. Have a great week, everybody, and do something that matters, really. Think about that today when you hear this show. Do something that matters. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.